Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Anti-MLM Weekly Roundup. My name is Carrie, and I'll be your host today. I'm riding solo again, but I have an interview that many of you had questions for on my IG. I wanted to take a moment before I introduce our guests to thank each and every one of you. I started this podcast 6 weeks ago, have released 8 episodes in total, and you guys, I can't believe it, but we've had over 2,000 downloads for the show. I'm like beyond grateful, that people even want to listen to me, not to me, but to us, to our guests. I'm just so, this is just so crazy. And I just want to thank every one of you so, so, so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. If you want a heads up on who's coming on the show or would like to ask questions to our guests, make sure to follow me at the Anti-MLM Army because I like to post heads up and give you an opportunity to ask questions. Also, my co-hosts Courtney at the MLM Police and Roberta Blevins at The Real Roberta Blevins. They also will post a heads up if they're doing a one-on-one interview and they want your questions, etc. If you would like to be a guest on the show or you have an MLM story to share, you can email it in to us at antimlmweeklyroundup@gmail.com or just send me a DM at the Anti-MLM Army. That's good too. Okay, so today we have a special guest. She's a professional makeup artist, and I don't just mean that she does makeup on the side. I don't just mean she does makeup for weddings. I mean she is a professional who does makeup on sets for TV shows like NCIS New Orleans, for example, etc. Not only is she passionate about makeup and skincare, she's also anti-MLM and a fellow Americans Against MLM team member. This is my interview with Jess MUA. Hi, Jess. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. On a Wednesday morning. So we're really excited to have you here today. Not only are you a professional makeup artist, you are a huge part of the anti-MLM community. You love to report just as much as I do, and I appreciate it so much. You probably report more than I do, actually.
I report a lot. I'm like, they're going to get tired of me because I'm sending them emails constantly.
Well, that just means that they should get to know your name better, right?
Right. That's right.
That's how I look at it. At it anyways. Every time I send in a report, I think, oh, Tina's like, oh, here she is again. Okay.
That's what I think about them too. Yeah.
But at least they should know by now to take my report seriously, you know?
Yeah.
I like to provide them with all the info. So
like that, now that I've learned I can send them screenshots. Oh, I go to town.
Yes. But the only thing for anybody listening, if you're new to reporting with Tina, is they changed their complaint form. And I have an iPhone and I used to be able just to send in a regular screenshot. But the way that I have to do it now, first of all, they ask you for your location. So I have to put in that I'm from Warren, Michigan. And the other thing is that they won't accept my screenshots from they're like JPEG or whatever they are. They'll only accept like certain formats. So now I save them to my iCloud desktop and then I pull them when I'm reporting. I just pull that because I convert it to PDF.
Right there.
Yeah. I mean, it's an extra step for me, but it's totally worth it. So now I just have a file on my computer called reports and all the screenshots are in there. So if they ever need it again or whatever, I just have them all in there.
Yeah.
I need an external hard drive soon. I think maybe that's what's slowing my computer down.
I need one too desperately. I have one for my old computer, but it wasn't a Mac.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Jeez. So one thing that I do want to ask you is, I know, because I know you personally and we chat every day, but if you can tell the listeners your anti-MLM story or the reason how you became an anti-MLMer and an activist.
Okay, so 2 years ago, it'll actually be 2 years ago on August 2nd, because I fell down my steps. I fell down two sets of steps. This time I fell down my other set of steps and I broke my foot in 15 spots. So I was laid up for a long time with screws and plates.
Ouch.
In my foot. Yes. And I had a lot of time on my hands. So I laid in bed and I just came across an article, and because I was just, one of my family members was selling an MLM product. So it was unique. So I looked it up and then I just came across an article, and honestly, it was the deepest rabbit hole I've ever been through. I came across a YouTube channel, you know, and I watched every single anti-MLM YouTube video. I read every single article. I could not find any new articles. Like, I was waiting for a new article to come out. I researched everything and it just completely opened my eyes to a whole nother world. So ever since then, I've been hardcore anti-MLM.
So you have a burning passion against a specific MLM. I mean, we all do. Honestly, any anti-MLMer I've come across, any page, any YouTuber, any blogger, we all have that one that we absolutely hate the most. And yeah, that's probably, it's probably how the Americans Against MLM team that we have, I think that's what makes us so well-rounded, because we all, besides Courtney and I, hate the same one, but we all kind of hate different ones. Like, we have a burning passion against, I don't want to say hate, but we definitely have a burning passion against different ones. And that's what kind of brings us and all of our information together. So which one is it and why?
Okay, I'm going to let the cat out of the bag. Okay, and let me say first, I know so many people with this company, family and friends, acquaintances, I should say, and that is Rodan and Fields.
Yes.
And yeah, so I'm an esthetician, and next month, it'll be 16 years ago that I finished school. So
congratulations.
Thank you. That's a long time in the industry. So I've studied
long time.
I've studied products, ingredients, you know, everything like that. And for people to give skincare advice whenever I'm sitting over here, you know, as a licensed professional, you know, it makes me mad.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you one bit. And I do feel like of all of the beauty ones, I would say that Rodan and Fields and Arbonne are the two that give the most advice. And I mean, that's coming from me, who is dead against Unique and their uologists, which mm-hmm. I just discussed with Ashley last week. But I do feel, because Rodan and Fields has their lash boost or whatever it is, and that has caused so many problems for people. They now have that new brow gel that you were telling me, or whatever it is, for $100+. So I do feel like they give the most ill advice mm-hmm. for the highest cost.
They do. It's outrageously yeah. priced. You know, yeah. And I guess because they're like, oh, the dermatologist came with it. The dermatologist, you know, they're, because they are physicians, they feel like maybe they have an upper hand, but that is definitely not the case at all. Because I've, you know, researched all these products and the ingredients in depth, and I absolutely 100% would never recommend any of these products to people.
Me neither. And that's not even because like they're an MLM. It's exactly. more because anybody can be bought. So for a certain price, any mm-hmm. doctor, any cosmetologist, any dermatologist, they can all be bought at a certain price. Hey, come and work for our company and promote how great these products are that we're formulating, and mm-hmm. you'll make a lot of money. I mean,
yeah.
anybody can be bought. So I don't believe any of it. And just like I posted on my Instagram last night of a Black status from Unique that posted the warning saying, don't use this picture about the eye cream because it's not actually our company. And I watched the comments because I wanted to know what company it actually was. And it's not even another company. It's actually for hormone treatment. It's a before and after picture for hormone treatment. So that's why I said, like, just a public service announcement. Don't listen to these beauty influencers online because they don't even know what they're talking about.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, they would watch like a 15-minute YouTube video and they'll be, oh, you're fine to go give skincare advice. I mean, that is so, it's not only unethical, but it's dangerous. It's very dangerous. There is ingredients that are linked to birth defects. If you recommend a product to someone who's pregnant, you know, they can cause birth defects. That's scary. It's so dangerous.
Totally agree. It's disgusting, actually.
It is.
You know, I find it's just like, for example, I was saying to Ashley last week, I would rather go to Shoppers Drug Mart and ask for beauty advice than to ask a beauty influencer on social media. And the same goes for, I would go to a specialist if I had a problem with my heel. I wouldn't go to the lady that does my pedicures. No offense, but I wouldn't go to the lady that does my pedicures to ask her about a pain that I have in my heel because she knows about the skin. She knows about proper procedures and stuff to do my pedicure, but she doesn't know about the bone and, you know, the deep workings, I guess, of our anatomy. I would go to the specialist for it. And I really feel it's important for people to realize you can't just let anybody give you advice on things.
Because yeah, I mean, that's out of scope.
Exactly. Yeah. It's out of the scope of practice.
Exactly.
So another question that I had before we got into, you had a bunch of questions on my Instagram post and they're such good questions.
They are.
And some of them I had questions, like those were my questions for you as well. Mm-hmm. But one question that I wanted to ask you is, what is it like for you to be part of the Americans Against MLM team? And yeah, what is it like for you to be an activist and to be part of the team as an anti-MLMer?
I think it's very honorable for me to be with Americans Against MLMs because we have such a great group and everyone brings something to the table. We all have a great passion for it and we are all in it for the same reason, and that is to take down the company. You know, we aren't in it for any type of ulterior motives. Like, we are here to educate and provide resources and even emotional support if someone leaves.
Yep. Yep, I agree. I think that's the number one thing. And I mean, I'm the newest team member.
Yes.
Quote unquote, the Canadian American.
Yes.
But I just feel so proud to be able to basically get my word out there of things that I've personally learned over the last couple of years of kind of being in the background and learning about MLMs myself from being part of it and being able to educate people, give them the actual resources of the information and lead them in the right direction.
Yeah,
I think that that's the most important. And I love that our little crew does that. And we are all on the same page about that, about how it's better like to educate people and to let people know that we're here if you need us or whatever. I honestly feel like it's such a good, well-rounded crew.
But yeah, everyone. Anyway. So glad to have you too, because we need people like that, like you, you know, that have a deep passion for it and that want to make a difference.
Definitely. Yeah, I agree. I've been talking with some other anti-MLM pages on Instagram. They're newer ones. And when I did a post introducing myself, because I wanted to show everybody I'm a person. Like, I may have an Instagram handle that, you know, is not my name, but I wanted to say I'm a person and I'm just like you guys, and I did my research and I got the education on it, and I'm just here to give you the same resources that that I had learned from. And I said, I'm Canadian. And other pages were like, oh my God, I'm Canadian too. And I said, oh, maybe we should start a Canadian chapter of the Americans Against MLM. And they're all on board. They're like, yes, we need that. Because I just personally send links for Canadian reporting agencies and stuff as well to those pages that I know that are Canadian. Although I have to say, like, our Canadian Competition Bureau, they're not as diligent as the FTC is or as Tina is. So that's why I report to the FTC and to Tina, because they're the ones that really crack down, where the Competition Bureau of Canada is like, I've never seen them say anything going against MLMs, to be honest. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's, we don't have articles and stuff. Like, I've never seen that the Canadian Competition Bureau sent out warning letters to MLMs, not like the FTC does. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'll just continue reporting to the FTC.
Yes.
Okay. So why don't we get into some of these questions? They were so good. I was reading through them. I was like, yes, that's a good question. Okay. So the first question is, why is the MLM makeup dangerous?
Okay. And this is such a great question. I could go one-on-one all day about this. Okay. So MLM reps, they don't have knowledge of the skin, you know, like estheticians do and people who are trained in this. And of course, they're going to want to sell you a product because they have to sell X amount of product to stay active. You know, most of these MLM companies do. So of course they're going to recommend just anything to you. So yeah, they don't have the proper education to even be giving advice, and they're not as knowledgeable on the topic. Mm-hmm. So, and I wrote this down because I was, I wrote it down. So for example, watching a, 15-minute YouTube video is not the same as going to school and getting a license, the State Board of Cosmetology. And also, mm-hmm. a ton of MLM reps do makeup using the products that they sell in makeup mm-hmm. applications, and they're taking compensation for it, and that's illegal. So that, that negatively affects the beauty industry and the people that are paying to keep their license renewed and paying for continuing education and, that have paid for school. Not to mention, it is illegal in most states, and they don't know anything about the proper sanitation and cross-contamination of performing makeup services, and it's dangerous and it can be deadly.
And I think that is probably, in my opinion, I mean, I'm not a professional makeup artist, but in my opinion, I think that is the most dangerous part.
Yes.
About non-licensed or just regular beauty MLMers selling makeup and giving advice. They should never be giving skincare advice, application advice, even clean, like on how to cleanse the applicators properly. Exactly. They shouldn't be giving advice on that. And that's what's so dangerous.
It is very dangerous. And like I said, a lot of these MLM reps, they're illegally providing makeup services, and you can catch, hepatitis, pink eye. Herpes simplex is a very common one that people have caught for, lipsticks. They're not properly sanitizing them. Yeah, it's really scary. It really is dangerous.
And I've never even thought about that you could get herpes or anything.
Yes.
I've never
Absolutely.
Thought about that. Probably because I don't wear much makeup, but I've never thought about that before. Now that makes me like... it makes me nervous too. I know we've talked about this privately, but it makes me nervous too about ever going anywhere in Canada Ontario. Anyways, I want to say, I don't know about all of Canada, but in Ontario where I live, it makes me nervous to go and get my makeup done by a quote unquote professional, because we're not regulated here like you guys are. They don't have to be licensed here. So somebody can say, oh, my name is whatever, and I'm a makeup artist, I'm a wedding makeup artist or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they could just simply be a unique presenter. I've actually seen it. Like my old direct upline is from the same small town that I grew up in. And she is a hairdresser and a makeup artist. And she is trained, because we still have classes here. So she is a trained makeup artist. Her old upline is not trained and is also from the same small town. She's not trained one bit.
Yeah.
She took my uplines. It's kind of confusing, but she took my uplines website with all of the prices and started her own makeup artistry business doing wedding makeup and did all the same price points and everything as my friend. And I said, oh, I didn't realize that she was like a makeup artist. And she said, well, she's not. She just applies regular makeup. And now she's, people have complimented her on it. So now she thinks she's a makeup artist. And I said, that's disgusting.
Yeah, I know. That would have saved so much money if that was the case, and time and effort and energy. And let me just say that cosmetologists, they also can legally do makeup, not just estheticians, because that falls under, you know, the State Board of Cosmetology as well.
Right. But like Ashley was saying last week, so she focused, her classes focus mostly on hair, but they did go over like a small portion of makeup and, and skincare and stuff. So I can see at least there's like a little bit, there's
some knowledge,
schooling. There's a little bit of knowledge, especially sanitation. Cause I know even with hairdressing, there's a lot of sanitation on,
yes,
on their combs and everything, right? Like their
workstation. Yes.
So, they know.
Yeah, they know.
Yeah, they know more than the average MLM pushing, just pushing their product, you know. In my opinion.
Yeah, yes, definitely they do.
So you pretty much answered the next question about what's so dangerous about not licensed makeup artists putting on makeup, which is good. I mean, that's good. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the next question, what are the dangers with MLM sellers giving makeup tips and tutorials who have no professional training but are speaking with authority and knowledge on the matter?
Okay, so I don't know why they're speaking with authority. Because, you know, I personally, even if I wasn't a licensed professional, I would definitely go to someone who has education on the subject, someone that learned about face shape, someone that learned about what types of products to use on what skin type.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they really don't have a dog in this fight, and it's gone on for so long and it's gone so deep that there's really no going back, because there's these people that are popping up all over the place. They're picking up a makeup brush and they're calling themselves a professional. And that is not the case at all.
Yeah, exactly. It really irritates me. I want to go back to the youologists. It really, really, really irritates me that they give skincare advice.
Yeah.
To them, only because people look up to them because they watch their live videos every day. Or I know, like when I sold Unique, a lot of my customers were very like close friends of mine who are baby boomers that barely wore makeup as well. And I'm going on YouTube and looking, I should never like, and I feel so bad now, but I never should have been giving any type of advice to my friends, you know, but they were looking at me as like, okay, Carrie does a lot of research on stuff. So if she goes and she researches this stuff, I know she's going to find the right answers. So they were looking up to me. And a lot of these influencers have people that are looking up to them and are going to hang on to every word that they say, whether the influencer knows what they're talking about or not. Because I will be the first person to apologize to any, if any of my friends or past customers are listening, I am so freaking sorry that I felt that I could tell you anything, because I don't know shit. And I still don't know shit. I'm being honest.
Yeah.
I'm being honest, you know, and I apologize to them before.
It can happen to anyone. It really can. It can happen to anyone. Like anyone can be sucked into this, you know? So
it just, honestly, like I could,
so I would
cry. I feel so horrible.
Don't feel horrible. You are a victim, you know, and there's so many victims out there. And, you know, with the tactics that they use, with the tactics that they have mastered, you know, it truly can happen to anyone. I know teachers, you know, I know math teachers. Like, look at the income disclosure statement. But I mean, yeah, it can happen to anyone.
And they're really sorry. I'm an emotional person, I guess. But they're really, really good at pumping your tires and saying, you're doing so good. I can't believe how much you've learned in such a little bit of time. Yeah. Like, instead of saying to me, you know, seek a professional.
Recommend this. Like, you should not do that. This person needs to, you know, this is out of your scope. I don't think there's anything I don't think they would ever say that something's out of their scope. I've never seen
never. Never. I have never seen.
They're out there. I don't know, but
I have seen so many questions in groups, in team pages and group chats, and nobody says that they need to seek a professional. I even asked in the group chat, I asked in the team page, like, I have cystic acne. Uh-huh. And I said, like, I don't understand this, you know? I would say I have cystic acne and it's just getting worse. I don't know what should I do? And nobody said, go and see a skincare specialist, go and see a dermatologist. Nobody said that. Everybody said, oh, you should try the exfoliating mask, or why don't you try the exfoliating mask one day and the detox mask the next? It seems to help me. Oh, rose water helps me. They only gave suggestions on other products.
Mm-hmm.
Never to see a professional.
With my time that I went undercover as a Grodin and Fields consultant, you know, I was in all of the groups, and they had one, you know, one woman post that someone's skin was burning, it was irritating, it was making it worse. And the comments were either, one comment was, it's normal, let them go through it. Another comment was, okay, well, then they need to use this other product. Of course, it's the same exact line, different product. They need to use that for a little while. I'm like, who are they? Who are they to be giving this horrible advice? Our skin is our largest organ, and it is so easy to prevent damage, and it is so hard to reverse it. And a lot of times it's irreversible. So it's very dangerous.
Yeah. Very dangerous. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So another question that a follower has said, what makes some MLM makeup brands melt off your face?
The ingredients. You know, you have to think that these products are made for the lowest cost possible because they are mass producing them. And also, the price is going to be extremely high because they're having to give a cut to each individual up that, you know, Christmas tree, I like to call it.
Yeah.
So it goes, you know, it's the ingredients, it's the quality of the product that they are using. You know, they're not going to get the, you know, the highest grade quality out there. And, you know,
right.
Who knows if they even met with a chemist to formulate these products. I mean, that's something I probably should look into, but most likely, you know, they didn't. So it's just the quality of the products, and it's going to be, you know, you're lower in quality, even though they say that they're the best and the quality is so high. Of course they're going to say that because they want to sell it. So recruit people.
Another thing to go with that is a personal question, because I found that, like I said, I only use BB cream and that's about it. But when I was trying to wear foundation, so I was using the primer and the foundation and I felt like it was sliding all over. Now, when I was trying to look up why this was happening, they mentioned something about using silicone-based primers with oil-based foundations don't go well. Now, would that be a reason as well?
Okay, so what I found is that if you have a water-based foundation and you use a water-based primer, that goes great together. If you have a silicone-based foundation with a silicone-based primer, that goes well together. I'm not sure about
an oil. I haven't looked into anything that's oil based. I don't think I use any products that are oil based. So,
well, there's an MLM that used to have mineral based oil foundation. I don't want to say any names, and they had. They've now changed it, but they had a silicone based primer, and everybody was having these issues. So,
I'm not surprised, sadly, that they had these issues.
Yeah, that's why I was wondering if there was actually any truth to that article that I had read that said that.
Yeah, and again, is, you know, an individual who comes up with this multi-level marketing company, like, hey, I'm going to sell makeup for, you know, this MLM. Well, mm-hmm. you know good and well, they're just having the product, you know, the product's just there, and mm-hmm. they're making all their money off of their recruiting. So 9 times out of 10, or 10 times out of 10, they have not met with a chemist, came up with these products, tested these products, made sure that they were absolutely amazing products. I could be completely wrong, but in my opinion, I don't think that's how it all went down, or, you know, mm-hmm. how it goes down. So, you know, they have a product. They have a product because they have to have a product. So.
That makes sense. That makes total sense to me. And I agree. I'm sure that they were just like me when they first started and had no freaking clue what they were talking about. So,
yeah.
And a lot of them still don't, because it's all about the money, honey.
It is. Yeah.
Okay. So the next question, and I love this question because it has become a thing, is what do makeup artists think of the clean beauty movement and associated products?
I read that question. I was like, okay, good. Because I've been wanting to say this. Okay. So let me say, like, okay, if somebody says that something is all natural, that is a marketing ploy. Arsenic is natural. The mushrooms that are growing in my yard right now because it's been storming, those are natural mushrooms. But if I eat those, I'm going to drop dead. So just because you say that something is natural, every single thing on this earth is derived. It has to be derived from something natural. It just has to be. So saying that it's natural is just a way to sell the product. Using, you know, I think they mentioned greenwashing, and, you know, this goes into like a psychological aspect of it. Maybe using a nice pretty leaf on the bottle, or, you know, like going with the whole green, you know, color scheme and kind of tricking people's brains into thinking that this is pure. You know, you have to look at the ingredients, you have to research, because the FDA does not regulate skincare and makeup products in the United States. So it falls onto the consumer to do their own research. Like California, they passed a law to where they'll put a warning sticker on some of the products. But other than that, and also the Rodan and Fields products, supposedly they're banned in the UK. Because of the ingredients. So in the United States, you have to, and probably in Canada too, it mm-hmm. falls on the consumer to research. So, you know, they can say they are all natural, pure, vegan. And that goes back to the MLM police. She posted, didn't she post not long ago about the Monat? How do you ever you say it? You and Roberta were talking about this. How did y'all say it? Is it like Mother Nature? What is it? Monat?
Monat.
Do you remember that? Do you remember on Instagram not long ago, she posted a screenshot where it said it was vegan, and then she posted an ingredient in the product? Yeah. So then, you know, that just proved.
Because it was derived from. Exactly.
So
creatures.
Yeah, so it's not vegan. So
it's not vegan. And somebody in the comments tried to call the MLM police out for it, saying that it is a derivative and it's not actually. And I'm like, I think that she needs to look up the definition of derivative, because a derivative means that it's a sub product of a product of a byproduct. So anyways,
therefore, it's not vegan. So they can say it's all natural, which everything's natural. I hate it when they say that. I hate it when they say that. Me, I mean, plant derived, is it botanically derived? You know, those are the other type. Those are the types of words that I look for instead of all natural. When they say all natural, I'm done there. So
it's a marketing ploy.
It is a marketing ploy. So they can say whatever they want all day long, but until you look at the ingredients and break them down and do your research, you don't know. You cannot take their word for it at all.
Mm-hmm. In my opinion, it seems like we all know that there's this green earth movement that's been going on for a while now. And in my opinion, the beauty industry is just taking advantage of this green earth movement and doing, oh, well, we're all natural, so you should buy from us, and we're better for your skin because we're all natural.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, of course they're going to capitalize on anything that they can.
Right. It's like, I know that we recently, a bunch of us had a conversation about GMOs, and I told you that with my biology class, I did a thesis on genetically modified. Yeah. And it is very, very difficult for anything to not have some sort of GMO attached to it, just because you can have two farms. If you're even talking about food, you can have two farms. One's organic, quote unquote organic, one is non-GMO, and then one is a regular fruit farm. And as soon as that fruit farm sprays, it sprays for miles. The pollen spray for miles. Anyways.
And that also goes to, and I know everyone remembers the 3D fiber mascara from Uni.
Yes.
And this goes to their green tea fibers. We have all natural green tea fibers, when in fact it was ground up nylon. And, you know, of course there's a lawsuit that's, I think people are actually starting to get paid from it, but
checks are starting to come for it. Now, but
they knew good and well that was ground up nylon. Those owners of that company know. They knew that it was ground up nylon, you know, and that brings it back to where I was saying the founder, I don't know if they met with a chemist, went over the ingredients. Obviously they did not, because it was, in fact, ground up nylon. It was not green tea fibers, and that has been proven. So you just cannot take their word for it.
I totally agree. I do feel that sometimes the CEOs of these companies, they turn a blind eye to the things that are being said by distributors. They aren't regulating them enough. And even their compliance teams, I feel, turn a blind eye a little bit to the things that they see or hear, just so that if they do get sued, like whatever's going to make a sale. But then if they get sued, they can say, we weren't the ones that were saying that. It was our distributors, and we're trying to educate properly, and we're trying to get compliance on them and catch it as soon as we can. I feel like they just throw their presenters or distributors or whatever under the bus to save themselves.
Yeah, because
they're
looked
at like they're a god.
Yeah, not only, you know, statistically speaking, do 99.7% of individuals with these MLMs lose money or make nothing at all, but they're also going to make money off of them. They don't care if they lose money, and they're going to throw them under the bus. They don't give a shit about these distributors. I mean, that's right in front of people's faces. So it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. So the next comment on the post was just asking you that if you have any experience with mascara beauty, because she had purchased some and didn't really care for it at all. And she wasn't sure if it was just her or not.
I'm so glad you asked that, because the first thing
have you dealt with them?
Okay, so I don't know if you've listened to the audio footage. It was like one of my very first YouTube videos I've ever posted. It's Rodan and Fields Consultant. Do you remember that one?
I probably did, but
Okay,
so it was a while ago.
That she actually, after I uploaded that video, she wanted to recant all of her statements and take them back.
Okay, I do remember this.
And she's with that MLM, or she was, I'm sorry, she was with that same MLM, the Mascara Beauty. She's on her third one, her third MLM now. So, oh, wow. Yeah, no, it's not a popular one where I live. So I don't have experience with the products per se, but you know, it all goes back to the overpriced, lower quality of what you're getting. I can almost assure you that a product that's over the counter from, you know, Walmart, you know, would work better than that. So.
Mascara Beauty is a newer one. I believe it's only a few years old, but when I was getting out of Unique a couple of years ago, a lot of people were jumping ship from Unique and going over to Mascara Beauty because of the whole, this is a ground floor opportunity and blah, 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 blah. But yeah. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it still hasn't gained a lot of traction. Really, in my opinion, maybe it has, but I don't see it.
I don't
often see it at all.
In fact, the only time I've ever even knew anything about that company was because of the YouTube video I did. And, you know, looking at that individual's old post on Instagram, and that's how I found out about it, is through that. So it's not crazy popular, at least not where I am. But, you know, if it was so good, then, you know, it would be, you know, gaining a lot of attention.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the last question that we have from a follower, because you covered the greenwashing already, was how has MLM beauty companies affected the beauty industry? And I know that we've touched on this already, but I really want you to let everybody know the impact that these MLM companies have had on your industry. In general,
they have had a huge, huge, huge negative impact on my industry. And for some reason, other individuals in my field, barely any of them will speak out because they don't want to ruffle any feathers or, you know, upset anyone. But, you know, again, it was not cheap for me to go to school. In fact, I had to move to another state and I'm double licensed. So I pay for an out-of-state fee, and I pay for a license in my home state, and it was not cheap for me to go to school for this. I have literally put blood, sweat, and tears into research, into working really hard, into, you know, finding the best of the best products. I've done so much to make it in this field. It's such a slap in the face for individuals to, you know, just take skincare advice from a random individual. And it's not just a few of them. Like my social media, even though I'm anti-MLM and a lot of people have unfriended me and blocked me because of it, but I still see those posts from individuals who sell products. And every time they recommend a product, I just cringe. But I will say, when I came out and said, I'm anti-MLM, I'm against all of this, I did not know how it was going to go over. I thought that everyone would be like mad at me and, you know, not like me, whatever. But I have had more of a positive impact on, like, I've had more of a positive reaction than a negative reaction. I get messages all of the time about products, asking, you know, if this product's okay, asking if this is an MLM or not. And I've had a lot of people switch over to a skincare line that I sell because they were using an MLM product and it's ruined their skin. So that's good. But for the most part, there's still so many more, you know, an abundance of individuals who are giving negative skincare advice. So yeah, it's affected us, you know, not just with that, but like, financially, because it goes back to, like I told you, and we were talking about it, a specific individual who, you know, who gets you know, individuals a job doing makeup, but they take a cut of the money, and they are getting these people that are basically pimping them out who are just MLM reps. So they are, and are, you know, it is illegal and people can report it all day long, but my state, they're not cracking down on it. So a lot of people have lost, you know, they've lost a lot of money because someone wants to go to someone who is a little less expensive using, you know, MLM products on their face than a real licensed professional. So it has negatively impacted us tons.
So if anybody is listening, that is, because I know that you've went through this. So if anybody's listening, that is a licensed makeup artist, excuse me, how can they report non-licensed, quote unquote, freelance makeup artists?
Okay. And I do want to say, though, in the film industry here, you do not have to be licensed because they cannot control who production hires. But if you are licensed, I don't think I know anyone that's not licensed that's doing makeup on set, but they can, you know. So I would go to the website for your local state board of cosmetology, and there should be a complaint form on their website. There is, you know, in a lot of, I hear this a lot. People will say, well, it's not illegal because I'm not working out of a salon. I'm freelancing. That's not true because the state, like, they don't even recognize freelancing. So whether you're working out of a salon or not, if you're taking compensation to do a makeup application, and not like at a beauty counter. At a beauty counter, they put the makeup on an individual because they're selling a product. They're not getting paid for the actual service. But if someone's getting paid for the actual service of doing makeup on someone, and they're not a licensed esthetician or cosmetologist, it is illegal in most states. So I would go to your local state board website, see if they require a license, which 99.9% of the time they do, and there should be a form on that site. There's also, on some of the sites, there's a way to look up individuals' names and license number to see if they are licensed or not.
Good. And I recommend that everybody do that.
Yes, for sure. Because like I said, you can catch hepatitis, you know, like who wants to catch hepatitis? You know, they're not going to carry insurance. So if you catch it, who are you going to sue? No one.
Yeah, exactly.
The consumer to research who is touching their face, who, you know, what products they're putting on their skin. It's up to, we're on our own. You know, it's up to the customer.
Absolutely. I completely agree. Okay. Well, I think that we have covered everything.
Well, I enjoyed it. Thank you so
much for having me. It's been so nice having you on, and I'm excited for everybody to hear some really good advice and education on skincare and makeup in general.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been great.
Jess, can you tell everybody where they can find you? Including, because I said in my intro that you are not only a professional makeup artist, but you do makeup on sets for TV shows, etc. So where can everybody find you and your information?
Okay, well, location wise, I am about 50 miles east of New Orleans, but I'm in Mississippi on the Mississippi Gulf Coast. And I have an Instagram. I have a link tree with all the information on my link tree.
Which is on your Instagram as well.
Yeah, that's
in your bio.
In my bio, yes. And it's the Jess MUA_7. And they can go to that Instagram. My link tree's there with even my TikToks listed. So
your TikTok. I'm not a TikToker.
No.
Only when you guys send me stuff and I was like, okay, hopefully it works. Because sometimes the links don't work and it doesn't let me see them. But
yeah,
I was on TikTok and I was on it literally for 2 days straight. I couldn't get enough of it. And then it became too much. It felt to me like it was becoming like a dating app for millennials. It was weird. Yeah. So I was like, I'm done.
Yeah.
So I deleted it and I've never downloaded it again since. But anyways. All right. Well, thank you so much for being on the show and I will talk to you later.
All right. Great. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye.